And they said, "We have a little problem here, Kent, with your dish." And Ted said, "Because we think there may have been contamination in your dessert round. We think there was a little blood in it." At this time, I'm a little deflated. Here you are, close again. You may not make it. Howdy, my name is Kent Rollins. I've been a cowboy and a chuck wagon cook for over 30 years, cooking for ranches all across America. You might have seen me on the Food Network or alongside my beautiful wife, Shannon, on our YouTube show, where we share cowboy cooking from the trail. But now we're going to take you behind the scenes to real campfire conversations. Join us as we share humor, cowboy wisdom, and stories full of history, heart, faith, and of course, a little fire. So grab you a cup of coffee, pull up a chair, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank y'all so much again for joining us. And Kent, we are continuing the Food Network Chopped saga in this episode.
It goes on forever.
I'm sure it did. And so if you all missed the last episode we did, Kent, I had asked you to kind of deep dive and give us the behind the scenes, all the juice on your time on the Food Network's Chopped series. And you have actually been on Chopped 3 times.
Yep.
In the last episode, we talked about your time at Chopped Grill Masters, which is the Food Network's first major outdoor production. It was all outside. It was all grilling. And I don't know, should I do a spoiler alert? Like, maybe I won't. If you guys didn't listen to that episode, go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
We won't talk about what happened. But now we're going to talk about your third time on Chopped.
Oh, my goodness.
And this one's a doozy, folks.
Yes, it is.
It gets kind of, there's a little bit of drama involved.
Drama was involved.
And so we're going to talk about the episode called Redeemed or Rechopped.
Yes, right.
And if anybody wants to go back and watch this one, I found it on Discovery Plus, and this was season 17, episode 11, just in case anybody's wondering. So let's just recap a little bit.
All right.
You had been on Chopped Grill Masters. You did that. Yay, that's over. You come back. You live the life on the chuck wagon again. You're doing your cowboy cooking thing. And then you get another call.
The phone rings. And they said, "Hey, Kent, we would really love for you to come up here to New York City." That first check mark right there, just something like, whoa.
And this is a producer from,
yes,
from Chopped.
And second was, "We'd love for you to be in Chopped Redemption." And I'm thinking, well, I don't know about that. You know, I don't really like to cook inside that much. I'd rather cook outside.
Right. So this was a lot different.
Oh, yeah.
Than Chopped Grill Masters. Chopped Grill Masters, you were like, okay, this is weird, but it's outdoor, yeah, it's grilling, it's more in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. And
the Chopped Redemption is like the normal Chopped episodes. If you have watched, they are in a commercial kitchen. It's all filmed in New York.
Yeah.
So this was out of your element.
Yes, it was. And you know, I didn't give her an answer the first day. Thought about it for, well, probably for 3 or 4 days. And then I thought, you know, I think I'm going to do this. I'd prayed about it. And I want people to know I can cook inside, outside, on top of the house. You know, tornadoes, hailstorms, no nothing bother me. But it's still, I remembered that anxiety that really comes over you when you're at Chopped. And now this was totally different because I'm inside.
The reason you said yes then was because you wanted to show people that you could also cook inside. Was that, yeah, the main reason?
Yeah, and they'd sort of cast this deal for contestants that were really liked and contestants that were sort of hard to get along with.
Oh,
some drama was already taking place.
So the concept behind this specific episode, Redeemed or Rechopped, the Food Network brought in 4 contestants who had previously been on some sort of Chopped.
And been chopped.
So I guess that is our spoiler alert. You had been chopped on the previous Grill Masters. You had won your first round.
Yep.
He went to the finals and you made it all the way to the dessert round and you got chopped.
Got second.
So the whole point is, let's bring back these contestants and see what they can do, yep, with a second chance, right? What did redemption then mean for you going into it?
Well, as Ted Allen said, who hosts Chopped, he said, "You know, Kent, we was all standing out there. I guess you're the only contestants that's won a round on Chopped and didn't receive payment.
That's
because I was in a tournament, you know, so you had to advance. And I'm thinking, yeah, these people owe me some money, you know, and so.
And probably some therapy, because that first Chopped was intense.
It was that. I think I wanted to prove to myself, too, that you can overcome any challenge in life. You can adapt to what's happening around you and tell yourself, this may be different. This may be a little harder. I'm out of my element. But stay true to who you are and stay true to your heart.
Of course, the competitors are different.
Yes, they are. You know, there was a guy there from Chicago who was a chef. And
Frank.
Yeah. And a guy that stuck out to me when I first seen him, because he had this sort of red mohawk, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, I think I might have seen this guy on Chopped, but he had a smile that was this big. You know, me and him might not have had the same hairdo, but I could tell he had the same heart. His name was Jeff Ng. And I think, you know, this guy seemed like good people, you know? And then there was this lady, Zoe, and
she was a chef from New York.
Yeah, and she was really proud of herself.
I could tell she was very intense cooking. One thing I do want to point out that I felt was very different, and tell me if I'm wrong, the competitors and chefs from Grill Masters to the Redemption episode were much, much different.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I got the impression as a viewer from Grill Masters, it was a little more like lighthearted. People were kind of cheering each other on. You guys hugged at the end. It seemed a little more like kind of we're all in this together. Watching the Chopped Redemption, I didn't get that same feeling. It felt very competitive.
Yeah.
We're here to win. And I'm going to do anything I can to kind of take the guy down. So it was that kind of true?
Yeah. Me and Jeff were in the middle, and Frank was on one end and Zoe was on the other. Two guys in the middle, we sort of got along, but the opposite ends, they didn't attract. It's like a battery, you know, you can't stick both of them together and they're going to join.
So what do you mean by that? Like what?
Well, there was just tension there.
Was there?
You know, and I got manners and I use them, but I could just tell that I thought some of the things I was saying or trying to get across to him or her, they didn't soak in.
Were they just kind of like in their own zone?
Yeah, in a way, but also a little abrupt.
You know? Were they? Was there any kind of challenging with ingredients? Because I always want to know, like, is there ever fighting for ingredients, or like, are you sharing ingredients?
Well, I learned at that time that there was people that did hoard ingredients.
Was that kind of like a strategy from some people?
I think it might have been. You know, my mama always taught me we're going to share. I know they took can openers away. We couldn't find them, you know.
So this is a really interesting point that I want to make. In round one, the appetizer round, all four of you were there. And you had a can and you had to find a can opener. Yeah. And Frank was right next to you.
Yeah.
And he can't find the can opener. And he's freaking
panic.
Out.
Yeah.
And
there's choice words coming out.
Are there? And so what do you do?
I just take it. You know, they give you a knife. You can take your knives.
Okay.
You know? They had these cases, like little suitcases.
The other chefs did?
Yeah. But I remember you making me, and I told you, I said, we're just going to put them in a tarp with sew pockets in them. And you just roll it up tight, you know. Well, when you unroll it, because they won't look at them, makes, you know, I had a good butcher knife, a buck hunting knife, a hash knife, and a pocket knife.
It was a little bit of a hodgepodge
of
knives.
It's always got me by.
Compared to what some of the other chefs brought in.
Culinary folks are bringing.
Were in a like full set of,
so,
yeah.
I just take that big old buck hunting knife and just stab it in that can, open it with that. I've used pocket knives for can openers many times.
Right.
And he's over just going back and forth. I can't say what he said. And about needed a can opener. And I told him, I said, just use a knife. And he had a few choice words, and it ended up that he said, not everybody's a barbarian like you.
Ooh.
So I'm thinking, Frank don't want no help, you know? So I didn't pay it no mind.
I think, like I said, what was really interesting, and it may have just been also the kitchen scene.
Yeah.
And that environment that makes things more intense. You're not outdoors. It's not like an open setting. No. You're closed in. And Chopped is super intense.
Mm, so I can fast too.
And I can see how people can get a little more stressed and intense in that situation. Did you have a change in strategy in this version of Chopped versus Grill Masters?
Well, I think I was going to try to plate a little better. Try to make sure that I finished a little ahead of time instead of having to scramble and throw it on the plate right there at the last, you know. And again, I was very thankful when it started that the Food Network gave me another opportunity, you know, to try this out. And, but hey, Food Network, don't call me. I ain't going back on there no more. It was fun while it lasted. It was, but can be very chaotic if you let it, because the space between the stoves and the tables isn't that big, and you're running back and forth, you know, trying to stay out of everybody else's way and going to the pantry back and forth or back there where the fridge was. But I just thought, get through early, make sure it's plated, make sure you hadn't left something out. But again, I wondered about the folks who bought groceries. Who buys chop suey in a can, and why did you need it?
I do want to say that the ingredients felt much more intense.
Oh, yes.
This round, you had parrotfish.
Yeah.
Vegan lobster.
Uh-huh.
Chayote squash.
Uh-huh.
Bubble tea.
Yeah.
And it's like, who in their right mind is doing the grocery shopping?
You cannot go to the little grocery store down here and buy any of that stuff.
You couldn't even practice, right?
And when we got through with the first round and Frank went home, and Frank was not happy when he went home.
Well, of course, you get chopped. That's not fun.
Well, he said
some more choice words.
Yeah, about the cowboy, you know. And I'm thinking, here we go again, you know, another round, more interviews just like before, and then you start. And when we got out there in the main course round, you know, and you get 30 minutes, and they pulled up. When we got to this bag, and they said, you have a parrotfish. We didn't catch them where I had. There wasn't enough water, I don't think, to make them. We had some bass and some crappie and some catfish.
It's a Hawaiian fish, right?
Yeah. And when I pulled him out, I remember telling Ted, I wouldn't cook this fish. I'd mount him on the wall. I mean, he's this long, and he's pretty.
How long is that?
I'd say he was a good nearly 2 foot.
You know? Oh, wow.
And scales on him were as big as a silver dollar. And they give you this little scaling tool, which wouldn't touch this rascal. I mean, he had scales on him thick as a horse's foot, you know. So I'm thinking, get rid of that. Just take your knife. You can either fillet him or get him off with that, you know. But chayote squash, I'd never heard of that in my life. But I knew a lot about squash and raised a lot of squash, you know. So I'm thinking, I'm going to boil it down so long, then I'm going to cook it. But the judges, there was two of the same and one was different.
Let's talk about the judges. So Aron Sanchez and Mark Murphy were the same judges you had in the previous Chopped.
Yep.
But the new one was Alex Guarnaschelli.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of threw you for a loop.
Yeah. I don't think me and her seen eye to eye, you know.
I think really the vibe with this whole thing was more intensity.
Oh, it was.
She is very intense.
She's a great chef, I'm sure, but
she's a perfectionist.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was kind of giving you more the critical eye, right?
Yeah, and I wasn't paying a whole lot of mind, but I can remember cooking that squash down after I boiled it so long, try to get it tender. And I'd fried this fish, but I went and found me these really deep plates that had a whale in the bottom of them, a sunk-in spot, you know? And I boiled what was left of that fish, head, bones, and all, with some spices, and made me a little broth to sit in the bottom.
Oh.
And then put the fish right there on the top with the squash. I can remember everybody getting through, and I remember her saying, well, this is probably not the way I would have done something. No. And I'm thinking, well, you're not over here. No, it's just me.
So, Kent, you know, recently I just got LASIK surgery. And since then, I've been really concerned about my eye health and making sure that I'm doing everything right to protect my eyes. And one of those big things is wearing sunglasses. And you had mentioned that you had been seeing a lot of ads for Warby Parker. But purchasing online is sometimes tricky because you can't try stuff on. However, Warby Parker, you can actually try stuff on with just your phone. You can view a ton of different styles right on your own face. So you would get exactly the look you want without having to guess.
They also have prescription glass options too, as well as contacts and online eye exams. They also have over 300 retail stores across the U.S. if you ever wanted an in-person option. You know, I saw the ad and I'm thinking, I think Shan would like these. There's so many different styles that I think she would really look good in, and she needs to protect them eyes.
Now you can get one prescription pair and get 20% off an additional prescription if you visit warbyparker.com/cowboykent. That's 20% off any additional prescription pairs when you go to warbyparker.com/cowboykent.
After the first round and getting through the second one, I could just tell that Jeff there beside me, he had the biggest heart. You know, you could tell he was full of pride in what he did, and he put forth a great effort. But also, he was friendly. He was a guy that had manners. He was a guy that I know is great in and out of the kitchen both, you know.
I want to know, when in between rounds, you guys all go back into a room.
Yeah.
And they do film this.
Yes.
And they'll use parts of that. What is the vibe in that room? And what are people talking about?
Well, when you go in there, because it's after you get through with the round.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take you back in there while the judges are making their decision, you know. And the first thing that's coming into everybody's mind is, did I do good enough to advance to the next round?
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I don't say a lot, but Jeff was asking me, he said, you know, your fish look good. And I said, well, yours had a great crust on it, looked really good to me. And Zoe, I remember her saying, well, mine was this, and mine was this, and mine was this, and mine was this, and more mines, you know. So I'm thinking, I'm just going to sit here and listen. I'm not going to say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't long. I believe that was the shortest, as they call it, sequestered time that I'd had. And we went back out there, and Jeff was chopped.
Mm.
And it sort of broke my heart.
Because he was your buddy.
Yeah. And I gave him a big hug, you know. When it was time for dessert, I remember thinking, this is your chance to not only be redeemed, but to prove to people that you can cook anywhere in any environment.
And it really was a very distinct difference,
yeah,
between the two competitors. You're a chef you don't even like to call yourself chef.
Never been a chef.
You cool. are an outdoor cook. You have a specialty in live fire grilling and Dutch oven cooking, simple ingredients, hearty meals. And you have Zoe, who's more a finer, refined chef. She's got a restaurant in New York City. She's all about plating and design. And so these two worlds are colliding.
Yeah, I mean, it's like daylight and dark.
But before we go into the final round, which gets really interesting.
Yes.
And a lot of anticipation.
Yes.
I want to go back to round two.
All right.
Because you cut yourself.
Uh-huh.
What happened?
Well, I was trimming on that there fish and cut this finger just barely in the heat of battle.
And do you even feel yourself getting cut? Is everything going so crazy that...
No. And your adrenaline is 900 miles an hour, you know? So, and at the time, I was having take blood thinner back then, you know?
Oh.
So, I seen it. And they got this medic. They ain't going to do this. Time out. Stop the clock. You know?
Oh, so that's the thing. That's what I wondered. So, if there is a medical issue, obviously not intense, but if there's some sort of a medical issue, they don't stop filming. There's not like a, hey, let me get a Band-Aid. It's full rolling.
No, you don't call no timeouts. And they come over with this Band-Aid and put it on, because this happened right at the first second round.
Okay.
You know? And they put this Band-Aid on there, and then they give you this little rubber glove that comes to about right here to fit on his finger. Now, this is like probably 10 o'clock in the morning, 10:30 when this happened. We went through the middle round, and now we're getting close to dessert, but we went through all these interviews. Been 4 or 5 hours.
Okay, and so...
maybe six.
No problem.
No. I'm looking at it out there in Hollis. Throw it away.
All right, so now let's take us all into the final...
The final round.
Okay, so, and I love this. They build this up for TV a little bit. You know, they have you square off and like, okay, yeah. Jeff's like...
gunfight, it's okay, correct.
Yeah, so, you know, you guys are staring each other down. What are you honestly thinking when you're looking at Zoe?
I'm thinking, I wished I had some Dutch ovens and a fire outside. I'd see what this gal's made out of, you know. But I'm in her turf, so let's prove to her and everybody else, it don't make no difference what we're cooking. I'm just going to put my heart into it, do the best I can. I'm going to put out a winning plate.
And your ingredients are, of course, wild again. But you decide to make a papaya bread pudding.
Yeah.
This is it, yeah. Right?
20 minutes.
And your strategy, as you had mentioned before, was just to get everything on the plate. However, in Grill Masters and in these rounds, your biggest feedback is presentation.
Yep.
Right? And so what are you doing for that?
Well, when I was at Grill Masters and we had a dessert round, I wanted to do bread pudding so bad because it's something that's pretty easy, but I didn't think I had time. I'm going to stick with the horse I think I want to ride, and that is I'm going to make bread pudding with a whiskey cream bubble tea sauce. I want all y'all to tell me. Leave me a comment, because this sort of blew me away. Who drinks bubble tea? It's got tapioca in it, little berries or something, right?
Yes.
I took one little sip of this stuff and spit it in the trash can, and I'm thinking, on my best day, I would never use this in a recipe. Why?
Well, you know, that's just part of the charm of Chop.
But they say use a little or a lot. You have to have some of it in the recipe. So when you can mix that in, whiskey kill it in the sauce.
Are you in your groove? Are you nervous? Are you?
She's making baked Alaska.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and this is a very intricate little dish. And
she's going big.
And she's getting these glass deals out and got this liquid nitrogen. And I'm thinking, this girl's, she going to brew up a bomb over her. Something finna happen, you know? So I'm thinking, I am going to make this bread pudding the way I would love it to be done. Cooked it in some muffin pans. That way it's easier. It's got a little more presentation. It's sitting there.
Nice.
You know? And as I noticed, as I was getting ready to plate, because you run around there and I look and I'm thinking, my finger has went to bleeding again.
Uh-oh.
So I ditch all them plates.
Okay.
Get me another Band-Aid, put it on there, start back. Time is getting pretty close. And it was always one of Ted's favorite lines that I said from a long time ago. And he said, like the monkey said when he got his tail in the lawnmower. And he knew I was going to answer. And he looked over at me. I said, ain't going to be long now. I mean, clock, because they'll give you a warning. Jeff, you have 2 minutes, you know. So I get it out there, got it on the plate, pour me some of that sauce around there and on it. And I set it out there and I'm thinking, I would eat that. I'm proud of it. Let me back up, because in a bread pudding, there's a basic ingredient that you really need.
What's that?
And that is eggs.
Okay.
You got to have some.
Yeah.
Go back to the fridge. Ain't no eggs.
No eggs?
And I look on her table. She got 3 dozen. She took every egg from back there.
Oh, so obviously that's a strategy there.
Yeah. So for eggs, I just stopped and I said, excuse me, darling, but you might not have learned this where you come from, but where I was raised, we're going to learn about sharing. You ain't going to use 3 dozen eggs. I'm going to take some of them. And she just sort of looked at me. I didn't say, can I, may I, please? I didn't think that was hospitable, you know?
Well, you know, it's like, it's part of the, it is about cooking. But it's also about strategy and time management. And so all of those put play in.
I don't think you need to steal all the eggs, you know.
So you got your eggs.
Yeah.
And you were able to.
Yeah.
So you have a few seconds to breathe.
Yeah.
You look at your plate.
Proud of it.
and you were feeling really good. At any point during this cooking for the dessert, had you looked over much to see what she was doing or how she was presenting or anything?
I just knew she had this, it's like a glass cake case in a way,
yeah.
And she's got this lid on it, you know, and I'm thinking, I have never seen such a thing in my life, you know, and I mean, if they're judging on presentation,
she would have had it.
She doesn't there, you know. Taste, I ain't got a clue what it might taste like.
So you turn it in and you go back.
To the little room. Yes. I mean, she was telling me, you know, I've got this one. And I said, it's one of them deals, Zoe, to where one's going to win, one's going to lose. And I said, whichever one it is, I said, that's the way it's meant to be. Well, first they bring us out of the little room again.
Okay.
We go up there and sit. They get them plates out there. And they said, we have a little problem here, Kent, with your dish. We're going to have to go back through this again.
Like the judging of it?
Yeah, that's why I guess. So they was fixing to go back through it, and Ted said, because we think there may have been contamination in your dessert round. And I said, no. And they said, we think there was a little blood in it. So we're going to send you back in there. And they was going to go back through the footage, you know.
Now, this wasn't on camera, though.
No. So we go back in the room,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're...
Which is very not...
I mean, I've never done this before.
You've never gone back into a room.
No.
Usually you go out and they judge and that's
it. It's over. So I don't know what to think, you know. And she's telling me, she said, you know, I think I got this one. At this time, I'm a little deflated.
Sure.
You know. But I remember telling myself, you did the best that you could do today. Don't worry about it. But it just kept crawling back in there,
mm-hmm.
in my heart. Here you are, close again. You may not make it. They come knock on the little door. Time to go.
All right, so they bring you back out.
Yes, ma'am.
And this is the final judging.
Uh-huh.
And they start with Zoe, and she has baked Alaska.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful presentation. And they start talking, and honestly, I'm shocked because I've never heard such a negative criticism of a dessert by all three judges.
Yeah.
I guess the execution of it, she just went too big.
Yeah.
Nobody liked it. The flavor was bad. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, Kent, this is looking really good for you.
Yeah.
And you can see her face. She's just devastated.
Yep.
And then they come to you. And so as a viewer, I'm thinking, all right.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, maybe there was blood, maybe they wasn't, but they said hers was inedible.
Yeah. And so, okay, so now you present yours, and what does Ted come in?
Ted said, well, Kent, we went back through the footage, and there was definitely blood in your dish.
And when it shows on screen, it looks like a massacre.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way that they edited it.
But see, I changed bowls after that.
So tell me, like, why did you think there wasn't an issue?
Because I went back and changed bowls and everything. They had it on the side of the mixing bowl, but I'd never dipped out of that bowl yet.
Okay. And I saw they had it on the side of like a jar, but you wouldn't have, I mean, you would have dipped in the jar, not the outside of the jar. So are you at this point very confident that there was not blood in any of the food?
Well, as I told them, I said, well, looks like y'all done saddled this horse, and this is a horse y'all going to ride. And Vivian, who was the producer, she said, Kent, we went back through it twice.
Mm.
And I said, well, whatever y'all come up with, I guess is what it's going to be.
And
I remember Mark Murphy saying, hang on a minute, cowboy. You know, it's just like a pretty girl. You go by looks first. What does your food look like? It looks very eye appealing. The texture looks great. We just can't taste it.
So there are three elements of judging in Chopped. presentation, creativity, and taste.
Yeah.
Has the judging at that point shifted a little bit? They almost softened to you and said, hey, don't count it out. But I do remember I saw your face and it was truly heartbroken. Like I felt like you had lost all hope in that moment.
It got to the point to when it was there again. It took all the energy I had in me. I was just drained because if you're in a food competition and it's something like this and it's really fast and it's really quick and you don't know half of what you're working with, you're already in a bind to begin with, sort of. Mm-hmm. But then when you hear how they're describing her dessert, you're thinking, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had one foot in the stirrup.
Mm-hmm.
Then they kicked me off horse.
And so they went back through.
Yeah.
And at this point, they do look at all your dishes.
Yeah.
And it came down and they revealed the plate and your plate was chopped.
You know, Shan, when I'm sitting up there, standing up there again, and there's two of us, one of us going home, one of us winning, been there before, you know, and I'm thinking, this is my chance. And when I seen Ted lift that off there, and it was mine. It felt like somebody let all air out of me. And I could even hear it in Ted's voice. You know, I know he, in a way, he was very disappointed too.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot for me to muster up the courage just to fight back tears.
Really?
Of thinking that I'd failed again, that I'd let you down, that I'd let so many people down that had watched us through Grill Masters that had become big fans, you know. And I'm thinking, I don't know how to get through this. I don't know what's next, you know. I know there's another hour and a half of interviews.
Oh, and that's got to feel like the worst.
Yeah. And you relive it over and over as you're going through it, you know.
I felt the honest disappointment. And it at the time, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, it's really hard to be the bigger person at the moment of being chopped, whatever chopped means in your life or your circumstance. And I really felt that you were down, you were disappointed in yourself, in the situation. Was that accurate?
Pretty close. Yes, ma'am.
So how did you rebound from that? Because it's very easy, given the situation. You were already the underdog. Some of the contestants were a little rough. You're out of your element. Ingredients were stolen from you. And you're in a situation where you felt like it maybe wasn't entirely accurate about the blood situation. Yeah. How do you rebound from that?
You're going to get dealt cards in life that sometimes you don't think are fair. And if you let them, they'll just keep piling up to where it's just one after another. And you look for excuses in everything you do in life. That should have been this. I could have done this. I would have done this. I'm better than that. I can do better than this. You need to take all the shoulda, couldas, and wouldas and say, I am going to learn from this experience.
How long, though, in all honesty, did it take you to kind of forgive that situation, forgive yourself, and see a positive?
I'd say it took 2 or 3 months.
Wow. Okay.
Because it was another deal. I remember sitting down after it aired, you know, which is 6-8 months after they film it, mm-hmm. you know, and watching it and thinking, you know, I don't know if I ever should have even went up there.
Really?
Yeah. But then I remembered I did tip my hat to her. I did tell her congratulations. Mm-hmm. I did have manners. You know, it's you learn from all your mistakes. I'm still the same person I was then as I am now. I'm going to do the best that I can do every day. And when you get knocked down, what I learned from it is when I got knocked off there, I didn't know how I was going to get back. But I knew, number one, you were counting on me to be the man I always was, to have that great pride in what I did, to deliver it in everything I did, whether it was digging post holes or cooking in a Dutch oven. And I prayed to God a lot about giving me
courage, given me more strength. And he has a plan. That wasn't part of it. Mm-hmm. You learn something from everything you go through in life. And I learned in that you're going to get stuff thrown at you. You're going to get a load put on your back. And you think you can carry it all the time. And you try. And the load gets heavier and heavier. And then you stumble. And then you fall. A lot of us want to stay down there on the ground. We don't know how to get up. That man upstairs will help you get up. And you rely on the ones that you love. I remember, just like it was in Chop Grill Masters, the only thing I wanted to do after this thing was over was to see you and to hold you. And you told me, no matter what, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And that's what counts. You put enough good things in your life that you have stored up inside of you, and that's faith and love and kindness and graciousness. No matter what gets piled on you, them things will help it fall off.
What was the most positive takeaway from Chopped Redemption?
I think meeting Jeff Ng.
Oh. And I think it's interesting. So maybe the most two opposites find a commonality and come together. And you also became good friends with Ted.
Yeah. I think Ted seen something in me, which a lot of people did at Chop Grill Masters, you know. But me and Ted became big buddies, mm-hmm. you know. He gave me a hug. And I don't mean just a hug. He gave me a big hug.
Yeah.
You know, I said, I love you, brother. He said, I love you too. You know, and I still hear from Ted on occasion, and that's what it's about, really, if you think about it. I stay in touch every once in a while with Jeff, mm-hmm. you know. I'll text him. He's good people. I think he's still a chef there in Baltimore. If you know where his restaurant is, you go in there and you eat, and you tell him the cowboy said hello. And if he's still got that mohawk, get a picture of it, because it is class. It is.
My biggest takeaway from this is you don't change. And you don't apologize for who you are.
No.
So you, even with your plating or your presentation, like, this is who you are. Like, you stood on the taste and how you cook your food, and you didn't apologize for it. And I think maybe that's something we can all take away, is stay true to yourself, stay true to your beliefs, don't apologize. And
unless you need to.
Of course, there are moments.
Yes.
But then, you know, good things will come from that. So
they do.
Anyway, I've enjoyed going through the Chopped universe.
It made me sweat a little again, going through it again.
Did you get some stress sweat?
Yeah, just a tad. You may not finish first every day, but it really ain't about so much the race that you're in to finish first. It's just get across the line, you know?
But make it look pretty.
Yeah. I've been second a lot in life, and that's fine.
Thank you guys so much again. You can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, on your favorite podcast platform, also on YouTube. And you can see Major here is our little dog who's sleeping with us. He's our podcast pioneer, and he's always with us every episode. Yeah. So,
but it is with great pride, honor, and privilege that I tip my hat to all our servicemen and women, all the veterans that have kept that old flag a-flying back there. We commend you all, and we lift you up in prayer daily. Thank y'all so much for letting us into your living room. Wherever you might be, we appreciate it very much. Or maybe we're just in your ear. Better than having a tick or a bug in there. We're a whole lot more pleasant than that. God bless you each and every one. We'll see you down the podcast trail.
Pioneer.